Welcome. Good morning and welcome to this service. Appreciate each one coming out. We're glad for the warm weather that we've had to be able to enjoy, a respite from the cold, but we'll take whatever we can get. That's the way I look at it. But thank you and welcome to today's service. If you're visiting, you're our special and honored guest, so we hope you get a blessing from being here. We will start our worship service. Everybody grab the book. Favorite gospel songs, the gray book, as we call it, number four. We'll start with number four. I want to hear everybody sing. Good. Very good. You have to forgive me. I'm a little bit emotional today. It's been a rough week, but it's already been a blessing to be here today. So, and here's a good question in this next song, number 59. Number 59.
Thank you. appreciate the good singing. Thank you, Rachel, for the good playing also this morning. Good morning, everybody. We're glad to see everybody here. Glad to have all of our visitors with us today. We appreciate your coming to be with us today. Now, Brother Sam mentioned it's kind of been a rough week for him. And it was a good friend of ours. Brother Sam's first cousin's wife was tragically killed in a car wreck this past week. And we made mention of that on their Facebook page and wanted everybody to pray. And we still do remember that family very much. But it was mentioned in our Sunday school this morning. We tend to tell our young people to recognize the fact that we don't have the promise of tomorrow. We tend to try to tell them, even as young as you are, you don't have the promise of tomorrow. But that also goes for us, too. And that was what was brought out in our Sunday school class this morning. We need to cherish every moment that we possibly can. I seen a thank you note from Brother Joe, and he said every morning or every night, she would tell him she loved him, and he would tell her he loved her more. And that's something that we always need to do with our loved ones. And I have to say I'm not the best at it myself, and but just cherishing the moment is something that we all need to do. We are to cherish the loved ones, the children, our families, whoever it is, your church family. We appreciate the good number that has come out today. All the bad weather has kept us cooped up for the last couple of weeks, and we're glad you're all able to come back to church tonight or today. And it makes me feel good, and I cherish you being here today. I do. And I hope and pray that you'll look around and at the ones that are about you, and just thank the Lord for the ones that's by you. Because it takes all of us to make up this church, doesn't it? It takes all of us to get the word out about Jesus. And that's our responsibility. It's not just for us to come to the house of God and sit through a sermon and the singing and such as that. It's for us to worship the Lord. And then to tell people about Jesus and about Him saving people. And we need to do that more. I need to do it more myself. And that's what I hope we'll try to do today as we come through this service, not only telling people about Jesus right here, but when we go outside these doors, take the opportunity to tell somebody about the Lord is what I want you to do today. I do need to recognize one here today. First time he's been at church. Sister Priscilla, would you stand up, please? I know it's hard. That's Mr. Luke. Master Luke, I think, was the way it was put. His first time in church is here at Murfreesboro today, and I'm tickled to death to see him. I want to just say, I hope he'll always be in the house. Amen. I do. I've been praying for his soul. I've been wanting him to be saved. I want him to be saved as soon as he comes accountable. And not only him, but that other Luke back there and the others that are here, I've been praying for you that as soon as you know you're accountable, that you'll trust the Lord and be saved. Now, there's some of you that's already realized that you're not saved. You already realized that you're a sinner. And I want you to take care of that. You do. You need to really trust the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, as the Bible says. And then you'll know what it is that we're talking about, the fact that we have peace with God. And you'll be able to start to be a true worshiper of God is what you'll be. So it's good to see everybody out today. I'm going to quit rattling on this morning. And just we're going to turn it over to Brother Sam for his children's church. So all the children, if you will, come on up, please.
Yes, sir. This side. What a good looking bunch we got here. Looking good. Here comes some more male counterparts. Ben, you're not alone. We love it. And we'll have the other little Luke up here before long, I'm sure. All right. We're getting down right toward the end of studying this picture here. This is a picture, folks, that my dad took in Mexico, and it's a picture of a man plowing with oxen and stuff and planting seeds, and I got a lot of biblical principles out of it just watching it. So today is the last thing that we'll talk about. Next week we may summarize everything and give you a little handout, the Lord being our helper. All right, so the man has plowed the field here. He's planted seeds. He's got stuff in the ground. He's waiting for it to grow. All right? And we said he's just waiting on it to germinate. Right? And there's one thing in the background here that's going to help him out. And it's real key to his success here. And that's these posts here and the barbed wire on it. What is that? What is it? A fence. You get the gold star. Get Brother Ricky to give you a $100 bill for that. Yeah, that's your contribution to this. It's a fence. That's right. What is a fence? Well, it kind of defines a boundary, maybe the property line. Say again? Right. You know the $100 right here. That's right. So it keeps stuff out, right? Right, so he doesn't want deer to come in there. He doesn't want wild pigs to come in there and root up everything and tear up his investment. It helps preserve. It helps preserve what we got in there. This is the most important lesson out of all this. It's the most important one. What's our defense for making sure that this stays like it is? In my opinion, it's our understanding and promoting the truth of God. The truth as it has been given us. Because there could be wild stuff come in here and tear up stuff, and then it's all for naught, and it may take a long time to get over that, if it does at all. We need to keep the devil out of here to the extent possible. We want to preserve the truth. We want to preserve our practices. We want to preserve the ordinances that we have. So that your children, you can't imagine that. You can't imagine right now being born and having your grandchild in church. But someday you will. And I want that little boy or girl to come in here and hear the truth like it is. If there's anything that we don't want happen, is for anybody to be deceived, either that they deceive themselves or they get deceived by somebody else. So they need to know the truth. You guys are all going to Sunday school back here, and you're being asked to learn the study. Do you remember, Ben, that we had the time here a while back, and we had the $100 bill? Remember that? And how that you looked to see if it was counterfeit? Remember that? Y'all remember that? Remember that? Same thing. Know the scriptures. Paul said, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, we're going to divide heresy and false teaching from the truth. So that's what we got to do here to preserve that fence. And that fence is our knowledge of the truth. I love you. I hope to give you a summary about all this next week so that you can keep and hold on to it. And maybe if you don't remember me, you'll remember that teaching. Because if I can't help somebody, I sure don't want to hinder them. God bless all of you. I love you, and I'll let you go. Appreciate you. I love you, sweetie. Give me a hug.
Appreciate all the kids coming up for the children's church part that we do. We're glad that they come in and just bring it down to their level. That's a good lesson today. Appreciate that very much. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in a few minutes. We appreciate each and every one coming out today. Glad to have all of our visitors with us today. Some of you we haven't got to see in a while, and we're thankful that you're here. Just be prayerful one for another. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Several of you have asked as you was coming in about Paula. Most of you may have saw it that she's going to have a hip replacement. They was asking how she is. There she is. I told you last week she's a little bit hard-headed. So guess what? She's here today, and I'm thankful for that. But y'all be prayerful for her. With this upcoming surgery, we still don't know exactly when it's going to be, but we ask that you be prayerful for her, is what I would ask you to do. Somebody else have a prayer request on your heart? Let's remember all the prayer requests from the earlier classes today, and let's just ask that the Lord will bless today in this service. We'll call on one to start our prayer. But we asked everybody to pray. That's the most important thing. You pray. A lot of times we want to just listen to somebody pray. Well, that's good to listen to them. You learn from their prayers. But the idea is you need to talk to the Lord this morning. So I want to give you an opportunity to talk to the Lord this morning. So take time while we're praying to pray. Brother Patrick, will you start our prayer, please?
Continue our song service. Let's turn to number 228. He is mine and I'm his. 228. Two 38.
Thank you.
All right, let's do number, as a last number, number 94. It won't be very long. Number 94.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning? It's always good for us to testify to the goodness that God has given us. And whether it was this week or in prior weeks, or just tell about when the Lord saved our soul. It's a good thing when we do that. So keep that in mind, and I always want you to follow the Lord. As I said earlier, it's good to see all of our visitors with us. As I said, there's several that are we haven't seen in a while. Some of you are first-timers, and we are thankful that you have come to be with us today, and I hope that you will be blessed in being in our service today. I hope you'll want to come back is what I hope you'll want to do. Does anybody have anything on your heart this morning? This morning we're going to take our reading lesson from. Go ahead, Brother Stuart.
Lord, today I want to tell everybody in here how good it is to see your faces.
Amen.
Amen.
So long, it feels like since we've been in this house for a full week. All of our members and visitors both, but I promise you, I love you. I appreciate seeing you here.
Amen. Bless you, Brother Stuart. Appreciate that. Because of the weather and such, it has been a while since we got to see everybody here, and we're glad you're here today. Somebody else got a word on your heart. If you're not, we'll take our reading lesson today from the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis, 28th chapter of the book of Genesis. You might recognize this by this phrase, Jacob's ladder. That's where this chapter is. Jacob was running from his brother Esau. Jacob had basically deceived his father into giving him the major blessing that was to go to the eldest son, which was Esau. But Esau had despised his birthright and sold it to Jacob years before. And now when it had come time for this blessing, Isaac was going to give it to Esau regardless. And now Jacob and his mother sought to get the better blessing for Jacob. Well, and a lot of times when brothers do something like this, it causes a great strife in the family. And Esau sought Jacob's life, and Jacob's mother sent him over to where her family was, and he was on his way there. And on his way there, he got to a certain place, and he needed to rest. And it says that he took stones and made for a pillow. Now, when we talk about a pillow, we usually are talking about something to put under our head. But I think he was actually meaning for a bed. He took stones and made for a bed. That's a hard bed. The idea, though, was that it was his place of rest. And while he was sleeping, God came to him in a dream, and he saw the story, or what we call the story of Jacob's ladder. And he saw the angels ascending and descending up that ladder. Now, when Jacob awoke, and that's where we're going to start our reading lesson with verse 16. And Jacob awake out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for a pillow, P-I-L-L-O-W-S, and set it up for a pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R, something standing straight up, and poured oil upon it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Now that's where we're going to start up our reading lesson. And what Bethel means is the house of God, the place of God, in other words, is what it means. In this lesson today, you noticed I made the distinction of the pillow versus the pillar. Most of the time today, if we see a pillar, it is probably an under a bridge, or it's something that is supporting something else. But in this case, it was a memorial for Jacob. It was a place of remembrance. That's going to be our basic message today. A stone of remembrance is what I'm going to call this message today. And we're going to talk about different places that were mentioned in the Bible that were places of remembrance. Most of the time, there was a stone involved with this, or rocks involved in this remembrance. And we want to bring out a few points with this today. In this case here, I believe this is probably where Jacob got saved. That's what most people believe. This was the place where Jacob got saved. He was in this place, and he realized that God was there, and he was able to commune with the Lord in this place, and he probably got saved there. Now, I've heard others disagree with that, and that's fine. But the idea was he wanted to make a memorial. He wanted to make a place of remembrance about this place where he first met with the Lord. Now, my first question is today, with this stone of remembrance, do you have a place that you remember where that you first met the Lord? I do. I don't get to visit there very often, but I've got one of those places that I like to go back to. Physically, from time to time, usually about once a year, I get to go and visit Mount Tabor Church, and I get to look at the spot where that I got saved. I usually, if they either sing the Days of the Week song or maybe they have a handshake, I like to go by that spot and just lay my hand on it. If they're singing about being saved, I'll go put myself in that same spot again. It is a place of remembrance. One of the things that is so important in our belief today is knowing that you are saved. And it is imperative that, according to the scriptures, that you know when it happened. I think Romans 8 and 16 is a prime example of that. For he said, "For the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And because of that, we know that when the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, we are the children of God. And that is a definite statement right there. And I believe that you'll know when and where that it happened. John asked for that very thought out of people. He said, "Give a reason of the hope that is within you." Peter said in the book of Peter, he said, "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give a reason of the hope that is within you." Now, these verses here are talking about what Jacob went through here and having a place of remembrance. It is good for us to remember certain facts in our life. It is good for us to keep in mind these things. How many of you today, excuse me, how many of you today can remember your children's birthday? How many of you remember yours? How many of you remember your wife's? Guys, don't answer that question. You get in trouble. But the idea is that we keep in mind certain times in our lives. We have them in our hearts for a reason. There is a reason why we remember certain things that happened. How many of you remember the day that you was baptized? I do. It was a hot July day. I wore a pair of green striped pants. Don't ask me why. The idea, though, was it was a special time for me that I was baptized into the Lord's church. I still remember the old preacher as he stood towering over me because he was well over 6 foot tall, and he was going to put me into the water that I would be immersed and be added into the church. I remember the day that the Lord called me to preach the gospel. I remember these things, and they're all in my heart as times of remembrance. But there's also times that are not just about me. I'll give you an example. I went to visit a church one time, and a friend of mine was pastoring there. And in that service there that night, the Lord came down and he just blessed everybody that was there. There was probably, I'm going to guess, better than 15 people that was lost there. And before that night was over, I got to see 13 souls saved. That is something as a remembrance unto me. Now, what have I been telling you about? I've been witnessing to you today about some stones of remembrance in my life. They are witnesses to individuals that when we talk about these things that we have seen that God has done in our lives, they are stones of remembrance. They may not be an actual stone that we set up. I'm going to back up and say that stone that Jacob was sleeping on was a good-sized stone. And it was set up in a certain way and poured oil upon that Jacob let the people know this was precious to him. This was a precious experience that he had meeting with God in that day. You know, there's other times that when we witness the blessings of God that we just understand how much God means to us. And they are things that we can come back to in our minds, and it shows us just how great God is in our lives. I'm going to give you one of my other experiences, and I don't want to build myself up in any way, but I want to show you how these experiences can build you up as stones of remembrance, and how that you can just be blessed by remembering how God has helped you in times. There was one time during a revival when I was younger, and I wasn't getting to go to the revival very much, but when I had went, I'm going to say it this way, there wasn't an icicle that was much warmer than me. I was cold. I couldn't get in touch with the Lord, and I couldn't find a way of getting back in touch with the Lord. So I was standing there at work, working all the time, and thinking, Lord, I've got to get in shape. These sinners needs to get saved. These sinners, I've got to help them some way or another. I need to get in the Spirit, Lord, so I can feel your blessings. And as I stood there and worked, you know what I did? I started recounting the day that I got saved. That stone of remembrance came up in my soul. And as it came up in my soul, the more that I thought about that day and all the experiences of that day. Now, the salvation part, that was quick. That was instantaneous. But the moments coming up to that, and then the experience after that, oh, it just brought back joy in my heart. It brought back love in my heart, so much so that I just couldn't explain it. You know what it did? It wasn't long that I was feeling the Spirit of God inside of me. That's why it's important for you to keep these stones of remembrance in your life. You never know when that you're going to need that stone of remembrance. You never know when you're going to need to be built up in the Spirit. It's going to witness inside of you, and it's going to bless you in a great way. But I also want you to understand, there's another reason for those stones of remembrance. You ever wonder how many people passed by that stone that Jacob set up, and somebody looked at it and said, somebody stood this up. It wasn't in a position that it was natural, we'll say. People passed by and they thought, wonder why somebody made this pillar to stand up like this. Well, I'm going to give you an example. If you want to turn over to the fourth chapter of Joshua, in the third chapter, we see where the children of Israel were crossing out, crossing Jordan and going over into the promised land. In this story, we find that God instructs Joshua to have the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant and to walk out into the water with the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the river itself was flooded. It was out of its banks. It was probably rolling with muddy water is probably what it was doing. But the moment that they got into the water, all of the priests were standing there. The water stood up on end. You remember the story? And as it was standing up on end, The children of Israel, they came along, and I imagine this is what they did. They went right around the Ark of the Covenant because they stood there in the river, and they went through the river, and the Bible says, on dry ground. I don't know how you feel about it, but whenever I went through a river or anything like that, you sink up in mud, but they went through on dry ground. That's the power of God, isn't it? When all the children of Israel had gotten through, the priests were still standing there with the ark, and God instructed Joshua. He said, you have one man out of each tribe to go back to the place where the priests are standing and to pick up a rock, pick up a stone. And they brought a stone out of the river of Jordan, and they brought it over to the other side. And then the priests came over, and the river started running again. Now, what was the reason for those stones? And in the sixth verse, the Lord said that this might be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Whoa. They had 12 stones. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe they had stones about like that. I don't believe they was like a softball size. They went out there and they got one that was big. They brought it out on their shoulders, what they did. And they brought them stones out and they set them down on the ground. And each one made a pile of stones is what they did. Years ago, I heard about a man. He had a special place that he liked to pray. And every time that he went to that special place to pray, he would pick up a rock, and he had a pile of rocks that was like this, way up, and he would pray at that pile of stones, is what he did. See, it was a remembrance unto him. But when somebody else came along and they seen that pile of rocks there, they said, what does this mean? And if the man was there, he made a witness to them. This is my praying place, is what he did. When the children of Israel, when their children came back by the Jordan River, they saw these stones. And just like any of our little, small children are, they would have asked the question, what's the meaning of this stone? Why is it there? Why did they pile them up as a memorial for this? And what the Lord told them there in the seventh verse, he said, then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it is passed over Jordan. And the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Forever. Now, I don't know if they're still standing up there. Probably after all of these centuries, they're probably not there. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord has it in this book that we can know about it, that we can tell our children about it, to show them the power of God. But the fact of the matter is, there's times when we set up pillars in our lives, we can show people about the Lord. It's there for a witness to them about His saving grace. It is there to show His power in this world. Now, I want to give you one other verse in this reading lesson here today. In verse 24 of the same chapter, it says that all the people of the world might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, you might be saying today, well, that was the children of Israel's and God working there at the Jordan River. My little pillar won't make much difference, but it does. Your pillar, your memorial, your stone of remembrance is truly a great big witness to everyone. You might think, well, me just standing up saying, thank the Lord for saving my soul. You might not think that just saying, well, God bless me this week, I was able to talk to somebody. You might not think that just saying something similar to these things really was that much, but you never know how much that a particular action by you may make a difference in somebody's life. I'm going to give you another quickening of mine. It's not me this time. There was an old deacon at Mount Tabor. He was one of those men that seemed like he was always in the spirit. Boy, he was a blessing to watch. And I got to loving him as far as his movement, as far as the spirit was concerned. I've seen him get up and testify, and he was just like anybody else's testimony. I'll say it that way. But here's my stone of remembrance of him. When he'd start popping that hand like that, I knew we was in for a blessing. I knew that his spirit was in touch with God. And I knew that it was going to tell us something good from God, how that it was going, how he'd been blessed and how he was being blessed. Probably my favorite one was the time that he was down in a place where there was no light of daylight, that is, and the electricity went out, and he just, he said, I was sitting there in the dark. I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. He said, all I did was just sit down in a wheelchair, down in a wheelbarrow, and just sit there and praise God. Stones of remembrance, right? He never thought in that moment that it was going to bless anybody. I hope it blessed you right then. You see, our testimony, our stones of remembrance goes out to each and every one that's out there. Now, I'm going to refer back to kind of what Brother Sam said here a minute ago. He talked about the fence just a little bit. And what he said in the fence is, that is like our doctrines. It holds us in place. It keeps us in the place where God wants us to be. I think it's the way he said it. Probably I'm misquoting him, and I apologize for that. But the idea that I want you to get in your mind today is this. That there is a place of remembrance in the church here today. And those doctrines are very true in our lives. You know, when the children of Israel, when they went in to the promised land, they divided up the land is what they did. And they divided it up into 12 sections in the land. And this was something that I didn't know about until a few years ago. They would take certain places in the ground and stones, and they would engrave in the rocks these markers. And it showed just exactly where the borders of the land was. And actually, they did it for each person's inheritance too. You could call it boundary lines if you wanted to, but what they were stones of remembrance showing where that they needed to be in their lives. They were landmarks, in other words, is what the Bible calls them. And the Solomon said, remove not the ancient landmarks. You see, it's important for us today in our stones of remembrance to remember, first of all, this word of God is our guide. It is what teaches us what God wants us to do. It is what teaches us what God's doctrine is. And it is a stone of remembrance for us. But don't just stop there with these things. Listen to what these old patriarchs are teaching you. They are stones of remembrance. When these brothers and sisters are standing up and telling you about the doctrine of the church, Pay attention to that. It's important for you to listen to these things. I'm going to ask you a question. How many gods do we have? One. Do you think he has a bunch of different doctrines? Do you think he had one belief or a bunch of different beliefs? He's ultimate, right? He's got his ways written down here for us. The only reason why that we have so many different doctrines in this world is because of mankind. We changed it. People changed it over the years. They said, oh, I can't believe that right there. We've got to believe this thing right here. That makes more sense to me. Now, the Bible tells us the ways of man will lead you to a great folly. What it's trying to tell you is God is true and remove not these ancient landmarks is what he's saying. Now, I've got one more, and I'm going to hush. Brother Sam, you can get ready. There's one landmark, one stone of remembrance that you don't need to ever forget. You'll remember when Jesus was here in this world that he finally got down to the last of his life and he died on the cross of Calvary, right? He died on the cross of Calvary, and there was a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea that went and begged his body. And Pilate gave it over to him that he could bury it, take him and bury him. And he put him in his own tomb, is what he said. Said it was hewn out of stone. That's not your stone of remembrance, by the way. He was put into that stone, into that grave there, and they rolled a stone over it. This is your stone of remembrance today. They rolled that stone over it. And you know, for years I thought, boy, they put a big boulder over that hole. I didn't know exactly how it was fit. I've seen depictions of it the last few years where it's like a big wheel and they've got it in a groove and it was, I don't know how it was, but there was a stone put over that grave. And then the Romans and the priests, they wanted it sealed up. They wanted a seal put on there that it could not be broken, that they would nobody get in there. Nobody got in there. But Jesus had an angel that rolled the stone away. That's your stone of remembrance. That's how you got saved. The fact that he died on the cross, that was for your sins. He took all your sins upon you. But the fact that he overcame death, hell, and the grave, that's your greatest stone of remembrance. Always remember. No matter what anybody else says, as far as your salvation is concerned, remember it comes through the very fact that he died on that cross, but that he rose from the grave to be alive forevermore. He showed us that we have a resurrection of our souls too. That we're coming out of the grave also is what he says in that. Always remember these things. These stones of remembrance are for us to be set up. It might be an old rugged rock. It might be smooth. It might be pretty. And then again, to the world, it may be the ugliest thing that ever was. But it is a stone of remembrance that should be precious in our eyes and in our hearts especially. Brother Sam, while we stand and sing, I pray today that the sinners today will search out that stone of remembrance, that time in which that they could be saved while we stand and sing.
103.